You may know Mario Batali from his star status on the Food Network. You may know him for his partnership in the American branches of the Italian food market Eataly. Or maybe you've eaten at one of his restaurants. Either way, he has become synonymous with Italian food in America. And now he's got a new cookbook which focuses on eating local. It's called America Farm to Table, and it showcases chefs from around the country and the farmers they turn to for ingredients. Mario Batali joins us now from New York. Welcome.
Well, I'm happy to be here, my friend.
Well, and I remember watching you in the 90s on Molto Mario back when I think there were only 28 channels on the TV.
But it was a different time.
It was a different era. And what got you into this farm-to-table movement? Because back then you were really more about Italian food. What turned you to American farms?
Well, I think Italian food is also very farm-to-table. I think the less time a piece of produce spends out of the dirt before it gets into your tummy, it's always a better thing. So farm to table is a fundamental understanding of the velocity of food and how it should be. My kind of interest here also involves kind of the economic part of supporting small farmers and small farms, because I think it's an integral part of the American society. And if everything becomes big business, we start to lose indie bands in the form of, you know, odd-shaped parsnips and interesting varieties of things that may be grown by a particular family that isn't necessarily commercially available for the nationwide market, but should be consumed wherever they're grown.
You know, I'm glad you brought up money, because I'm just thinking about how this works out in practice when people go and buy things from farmers markets or buy fresh local produce at the supermarket as opposed to getting some of the more mainstream stuff. It ends up costing a lot more and sometimes takes a lot more time, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but if you think about the fact that food is one of the few things that you buy that you actually put in your body, then it would seem to me that that would be the one that you might want to take a little bit more time carefully considering what it is, where it came from, and what's in it by the time it gets to your mouth.
Do you think we Americans don't do that?
I think that it's not out of a bad choice of Americans. There's just a lot of places where you have to go 30 miles to get to the big box store, and that's where you're able to buy your food. And it's because America's so big that we can't possibly have a great little farmer's market on every corner like in Italy. So we have to kind of deal with what cards have been dealt to us, and kind of the advantages that we have all can very much outweigh the disadvantages. As long as you can identify local farms as close to as possible as you can and spend the real valuable time doing it.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the food in this book, because it's delicious. And I know that people just want to hear you talk about food. And let's start with there's a fava bean guacamole. I hadn't even thought that you could do such a thing.
Well, about 15 or 20 years ago, there was this guy in a restaurant called Trump, and not related to the Donald, but there was a restaurant called Trump's in Los Angeles, a guy named Michael Richard, and he had done a sweet pea guacamole. And I'd always thought, geez, there must be another way to use stuff besides avocados that could be something really delicious in this kind of tortilla chip dip business. And we tasted these favas from this farm, and the first thing I thought of them when I tasted them was that there was this remarkable affinity to the avocado. So that's where we went with it.
And is it better, do you think, than a regular old avocado guacamole?
Better is a really weird term. I would say they're both remarkable.
You also have in here tempura green beans with tomato seed aioli. And I wonder how difficult it is to get that tempura just right.
It's not as tricky as you would think. It's really more about getting the oil to the right temperature. If you take the beans and dip them right in, right before you toss them into the oil, everything sticks to it really, really well. If you try to do that in advance, then it's not necessarily as pretty. And the tomato seed aioli sounds very tricky, but if you just think about it, you take a really ripe, juicy tomato, even an overripe one, cut it in half and squeeze out all of the juice, the life force of the inside of that tomato. It is so tasty and smells and tastes so much different than just a thick slice of tomato would.
Are you tasting these things in your mind while you are talking about them, by the way?
I have that kind of brain.
Hmm.
I can get pretty excited about stuff just talking about it.
What do you get most excited about food-wise?
For me, what really turns me on is I go to a market and I see things that are either just coming into season or just going out of season. I love the fact that the regional change forces the American diet, or the world diet for that matter, to look at things differently. And it causes a great variation if you look at it as a 12-month program. So I love the fact that when asparagus comes, and then I love the fact when asparagus leaves, because whatever follows asparagus, generally in our region, morels is the next thing to pop up, and then ramps, and after ramps, then all of a sudden it's spring fruit. And I just just like that it changes a lot because that gives me constant inspiration to develop or remember dishes that I forgot of since the last time that this stuff was in season.
Mario Batali, you now have more than 20 restaurants around the world. You have published 9 cookbooks. You're, of course, famous for the Eataly franchise now, this wonderful Italian market. How do you rule this empire of food without sacrificing quality?
Almost in every location of the restaurants that I own, and certainly in all of the Eataly's I own, people that are working in those places have directly worked with me. And they also have a certain slice of the pie. I never had the manifest destiny of taking over the world, nor did I really ever think I would expand beyond 2 or 3 restaurants. But what happened is as each sous chef became good enough to run the restaurant where he or she wasn't the head chef, it was either they were going to go leave and work with somebody else, or they were going to build their own restaurant, or if I pitched it right, we could develop a restaurant together. So what I have is a whole mess of partners or people that have a slice of the pie in each of the locations behaving more like an owner than like an employee, which gives them the power, the control, and yet also the sensitivity to the nature of the kind of tenacious relationship sometimes that happens between restaurants and customers. And it's doing the right thing from an owner's perspective that makes each restaurant operate individually, but also as part of the greater value of the team.
We are speaking with chef and restaurateur Mario Batali, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Mario, when is the next Eataly going to open? Is that going to be something that we see all over the country?
Well, right now, the next one, I believe, is going to be in Sao Paulo. But the next one in America is going to be next summer at the World Trade Center here in New York underneath the Freedom Tower.
Why do you think that has been so popular? I've been to the one in Manhattan, and it's just packed with people all the time.
I think the Italian gastronomic culture is one that allows anybody to join on any terms they decide. And if you went in there and you just wanted a gelato or an espresso, we have that. If you want to go in there and make a dinner that is full on like the Italian feast and it's got a pasta and an antipasto and a main course and a dessert, you can do that. We are not about selling you pre-cooked food. We can make it easy for you. We will prepare the agnolotti, but then you have to take them home, boil them and put them in some kind of sauce. And I think that that makes people feel very inspired that we believe in them and they believe in us. So there's a great exchange all the time. I think one of the funniest signs that I ever saw was the first time I walked into Eataly in Torino when I was deciding whether we were going to be a part of this, and we are because of this. It said the first thing is the customer is not always right. The second line, Eataly is not always right. And the third line, through our differences, we will achieve a harmony. And that is a very fundamental and very powerful way of looking at business, that there's an interchange between the customer and the proprietor that makes something so much more juicy and so much more collaborative that it becomes a store that's a work in progress. And yet you always feel like you could be in it. You could be a part of it. You're on our team. We're on your team.
And you can go home and make something great, which brings me back to the book. What's your favorite recipe in it? What should people try first?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's tomato season right now all over North America. So I would probably make the tomato focaccia. Then I would make the salad based on that called panzanella. Then I would take the beginning of the acorn squash and stuff them. And you do the squash stuffed with lamb and mint that comes out like an entree, but it's almost like a side dish. And you can use it either way. And then it's also oyster season as we entered months with ours. So I love this oyster pan roast. But there's also a Mexican oyster cocktail that is in there that if you ever had a hangover, not that any one of your listeners ever did, but if they did, this is the cure.
Mm. And I think we've got a full meal there. Mario Batali, thanks so much. Such a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And we've got some of those recipes that Mario's been talking about at hereandnow.org and a special web extra, Mario's favorite restaurants in the United States. Go to hereandnow.org right now and take a listen to that special web extra.
And by the way, he's right. The tomatoes, I'm eating one right now. As you can see, the tomatoes right now are fantastic.
Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.